Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Equipment and Parts in Laurel is your go-to spot for all things tractor and heavy equipment. From sales to service and even locating that hard-to-find part, we can handle it all. We even have rentals. For all your tractor and heavy equipment needs, visit Southern Equipment in Laurel or call 601-651-4555.
More free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is on the air, and we're glad you're with us this afternoon. Bob Getty, Kelly Sander, we're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio.
Yeah, and on the show today, we're going to be talking.
Yeah, and I'm getting some real bad feedback here, Jeremy. Let me check on something.
Okay, well, while he's doing that, I can tell you what's ahead on the show. Neftali Alvarez, I had a chance to interview Nefta before practice, you know, last week, and he talked about the relationship that he has now with rapper Bad Bunny, and about
here we go.
No, true.
Okay,
true.
All right.
Yeah, a really tragic story about how he lost his dad, and that Bad That's Bunny true. Has kind of stepped true. Up, and his expectations for the team this year. Then Mike Frazier, our junior college expert, is going to be on talking about the list of games tonight, and we'll be going down to New Orleans.
Patrick McGee making a Thursday appearance with us instead of Friday, and you'll never guess who the Saints are playing Monday night.
Kansas City.
Guess where it's at?
Kansas City.
Oh, how could that be?
And guess who's going to get every call?
Kansas City.
Yeah.
And guess who's going to be there acting like she just won the lottery every time they make a first down?
Kansas City?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Taylor.
Taylor. So you're not a Swiftie?
No, I'm not.
Yeah, I'm sure she'll be there.
I want to tell you real quickly, too, that the Sun Fades are back in town, and they don't like the Eagle Hour for some reason. The Sun Fades are always in the 1 o'clock hour, so somewhere near the last segment of the show, we're likely to lose the signal. You'll be able to hear the show online, the entire show, but the last 4 or 5 minutes of the show, if you're listening to radio, will likely be gone due to a Sun Fade. But nevertheless, as Kelly said, great interview with Neftali Alvarez. I have a trouble with that name for some reason.
You just call him Neff.
This is why I have my own radio shows, because I can't pronounce people's names.
And you can't fire yourself.
No, my wife won't allow that.
Right, right.
Great interview with this young man who's so electric. I think the most electric player on the basketball team when he's healthy. Let's hear what that young man had to say.
Neff, how is the foot, and what... Please tell us you're guaranteed this season to play without another injury on that foot, because it's went twice now, right? We've had to deal with it.
Yeah, I've been injured twice already. You know, this is a special year for me personal, because it's my last year. You know, I've been taking care of my body for a long time since the last year when I get injury and I had surgery. I've been taking care of my body. I'm 100% right now, so everybody knows, you know. I'm ready for the season, man. You know, it's been a lot of setback, but this combat is personal, you know.
There's a lot of expectations for this team. You know, when you look at the roster from top to bottom, I would guess you guys wouldn't have it any other way.
Oh, yeah. From my point of view, I mean, I love the last 3 years that I've been here, you know, our past 2 teams and this team, but I think this team is special, you know. We have a lot of talent here, and we can make great teams. We're trying to look for tournament, you know. We're trying to go to the NCAA tournament. I know we have a big chance to win the Sun Belt Conference, and we will. You know, we're working hard since summer. We have a lot of new guys. We're trying to build a great chemistry, and then we're going to make it happen.
Yeah, and I want to talk a little bit about, because we joke about on the Eagle Hour about you knowing Bad Bunny, right? Now Bob Getty didn't even think that Bad Bunny was a real person, but man, you kind of have kind of grown up in the limelight. These are just regular people to you, you know. When did you meet him, and how long have you known him, and just whatever you want to share with us about your relationship with the Bad Bunny.
My dad, my pop, he passed away almost 2 years ago. And my dad was a rapper back home.
Right.
So I know him through my dad. He went to one of my pop video that he make a song with him. And that day, my dad let me meet Bad Bunny. We start we have a great conversation that day. It was like 30-minute conversation. And right after that, like, we never talked, you know, like back and forth, because he's super famous.
Right, right.
Probably one of one.
Right.
And then, but he knows me, you know. When my dad passed away, I went to one of Bad Bunny team games in Puerto Rico. He had a team, a basketball team in Puerto Rico. I went there, and he was there. I didn't know he was there. And then right after the game, he was like, he talked to me for like 5 minutes. He was, you know, being there for me. He was like, you know, you gotta keep going. You know what your dad want for you, and he was supporting me.
Yeah, and the fact that now he's just like the megastar that you were talking about, it's pretty cool, you know, how things evolve. So what's in the stars for you now, Neff? If you could wave a magic wand after this season, regardless of how it turns out, what do you want to have happen after this season?
You know, I when I was a kid, I always have a big dream. Of course, I want to play in the NBA if I can, if I had the chance, the opportunity. But I want to go overseas so bad. Like, I always see, like, Facundo Campazzo. He's a professional player from Argentina. He played in the NBA for a couple of years. He's now back in Real Madrid. I play in the ACB, you know, EuroLeague. And I want to go there. I want to go to EuroLeague, play in the ACB for a long time. And then, I don't know, I'm trying to go to live in Europe for a couple of years, place over there. I don't know where, but I want to go there.
Okay, you talked about this being your last year. We got some, you know, freshmen coming in. What do you see your role on this team being as far? Because we've got a lot of seniors, a lot of older guys. So what's your role among this group of seniors, and how you plan to affect the lives of the freshmen?
You know, I'm actually trying to help the freshmen, because I've been there and I know how hard it is. You got to go through the new system. You got Coach Juan in the side that is not a easy coach to play for. You know, he's always going to ask you for more. So as a senior, I'm trying to be there for them, you know, trying to teach them the game, the system, how college is, because high school and college is way different. You know, probably when you play in high school, when you play a good team in high school, you're probably going to play two or three guys that they really good, but the rest of the team, they just like hoopers. But after that, they not going to go to college. When you in college, you know, everybody's trying to eat. Everybody's trying to go to professional. So it's different. The levels are way different. And what I'm doing right now with freshmen is trying to help them, you know, learn the system, learn how to play. I'm teaching them.
Well, Neff, on behalf of all the Southern Miss fans, if we don't want you walking anywhere, we want to protect that foot. So if you ever need a ride, just call us and we'll get you from point A to point B. But we are really looking forward to you saving your best for last, and great expectations for this team. And we know you're going to be a big part of it. Thanks so much for your time.
Yeah, man. All Southern Miss fans, you know, thank you for being there for the past 2 years. Like I say, you know, this combat is personal. So I'm taking care of my body, because I know I got to be there from day one to the last day
We're trying to make it to a tournament. We're working hard, guys, and I know I have a lot of high expectation. You know, like everybody is trying to see me and our team, you know, playing the right way, and we're trying to avoid injuries.
To the top, now. Thank you.
To the top, always, forever.
You know, everybody has an opinion. My opinion, this kid's health is probably the most important injury to watch all year that will lead to the success of the team. I think the team can win the league if this kid is healthy and playing all year.
It's a completely different team without him in the lineup.
Correct.
And if you put him and a reworked Andre Curbelo, who was on the show earlier this week talking about, you know, working on, you know, his head game, so to speak, and how he's matured, this backcourt really is dynamic if they can both stay healthy. And with Tegra Ize reworking his body, a 7-footer inside is going to give you that power and strength in the paint. It should be fun to watch this Eagle basketball team that opens with an exhibition game on October 22nd. But, Bob, you had to have been there to see when Neff was talking about his dad, how he became, yeah, even 2 years after the fact, emotional. His eyes.
I can understand that.
Yeah, his eyes teared up, and it's just really.
I still have those same moments from 2 years ago. All right, we'll be right back. Going to talk to Patrick McGee down at NOLA.com and the Times-Picayune next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Glad you're with us. Patrick McGee from the Times-Picayune joining us. Want to thank, of course, our sponsors, Southern Bancorp. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. That's where Kelly and I will be tomorrow. We're really looking forward to that. Dickey's Barbecue sponsored the first segment of today's show, and this segment with our buddy Patrick McGee is sponsored by Campus Bookmart. All right, Patrick, you're normally with us on Fridays, but we can talk to you today, of course. And what a brutal loss. You and I were exchanging some text messages earlier this week, and I was kind of complaining about the late fourth quarter penalty against the Saints, the PI, which ended up giving the Falcons the win. And you said you thought that particular play was a good call, but I wanted to just ask you in general, do you see what I see, that the officials just seem to dominate NFL football games these days?
It depends on the game. You know, I'm somebody that's kind of tuned in mostly just the Saints games and not really other ones. I know the Thursday night game last week, even Al Michaels was like, oh, my God, I think it was the Giants-Cowboys game.
Mm-hmm.
That it was just the first half was just dominated by penalties. You know what? I mean, I think the guys are really good at their job. You know, in the NFL, as far as referees, maybe they do kind of call it kind of tight sometimes. I've seen some questionable stuff, but I still think those guys are much better than the refs on the college level. So I'm not going to bash on them too much, but there are times where it feels like they do kind of overdo it.
Mm-hmm. Are they full-time now, Patrick, or do they still remain part-time?
Yeah, I believe they're all full-time. I know there was a conversation last few years about that, and I believe they are full-time. And I'm sure some of them have the opportunity to work other lines of work outside of refereeing.
I think we were all getting real excited about New Orleans early on. Then they lose to Philadelphia and Atlanta. And then Monday night they have to go to Kansas City to play the Chiefs. Suddenly this is a game that may be more important than we thought it might be at the first of the year.
Right. And, you know, if they play like they're capable of, you know, they can win this game. But, you know, I've watched a little bit of Kansas City this season, and I don't really see them as hitting on all cylinders at this point of the year. Even Travis Kelce has kind of had a hard time getting going. I know one of their top receivers, I think, suffered a serious knee injury. So maybe they catch the Chiefs, but I mean, this game's on the road. It's really tough to win in Kansas City, and, you know, it's just a tough ask. But I remember us talking before the season, if the Saints come out the first five games of the season 2-3, you know, that's not bad. So look at it from that angle. But, considering they were 2-0, and really they the Falcons game was one they should have won. That was one that just the muck punt there in the first 2 minutes of the game, just handing the Falcons a touchdown. And the interception was kind of a freak thing. You know, Carr probably shouldn't have thrown the pass the way he did, but it was also just unlucky bounce with the way the ball flew up in the air. So it was a game that the Saints were, on the field. They outplayed the Falcons, not dramatically so, but, I mean, the Falcons didn't get in the end zone on offense. And they won on a 58-yard field goal on the, in the last few seconds. So it's a game the Saints shouldn't win. They should be sitting here 3-1. But that's the NFL. You can't afford mistakes like the muff punt into your own end zone.
And it just doesn't matter when it comes to the Saints and the Falcons. The Falcons always throw a kink into things, even when they're not necessarily expected to. The New Orleans-Atlanta games, you just never know how they're going to go. Patrick, if you will indulge me for just a second, I want to go off the NFL track and maybe talk just a little bit of college, because the Tulane Green Wave, under first-year coach John Summerall, who was raised in the Summerall area here just outside of Hattiesburg.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's having a terrific season there at Tulane, and I think that a lot of people are kind of surprised at how he's come in there the first year and made Tulane a very good football team in his first season.
Yeah, I'm not really surprised. That they lost to Kansas State at home, and I think Tulane thought they were the better. I think it was 34-27, and Tulane thought they were the better team that day, and they just didn't pull it out. But I think Summerall's a very good coach. And one thing that I've been talking to Jeff Duncan and other people that cover Tulane, and Tulane's got money, and they're investing it in the NIL situation. They're bringing in players with really significant money. They're setting themselves up to, they turned down the Pac-12. It's kind of absurd to sit here and talk, oh, yeah, Tulane turned down the Pac-12. I mean, imagine saying that 20 years ago. I think what we're looking at right now is that Tulane is probably long-term, they would like to go into the ACC, and I think that opportunity eventually is going to come open. I think Summerall was a good hire. They're investing money in theirs. They've got a newer stadium. They've got the facilities they need to succeed. Long-term, Tulane's going to be a relevant football program, when for a long time they were just completely irrelevant.
Yeah, that's hard to believe that I'm sitting here listening to that, because you're right. But, heck, I remember when Tulane just was where you went to – watch the game, you knew you were going to win the game, and you could enjoy New Orleans for the weekend. Those days are gone.
And the Superdome, you'd play in front of, 3,000 people in that big big dome, and they got that great little stadium now right there next to the baseball field. So, yeah, Tulane, things are – and I think Tulane and Southern Miss are developing in future football schedules, home and homes between each other as, teams – in their non-conference schedules want to stay as close to home as they can. And I think that's good for both, fan bases.
I know that you stay really busy. I don't know how much time you can get to spend on the Raging Cajun football team, but Southern Miss got a big task in front of them Saturday night. The Cajuns look like they're a pretty good squad too, Patrick.
Yeah, I've talked with Kevin Foote, the UL beat writer out of the Acadiana Advocate. He's a good dude, and he's been covering the Cajuns for a long time. But he keeps mentioning, everybody thinks UL's good, then Southern Miss beats them. I mean, Southern Miss has had their number, and it's just kind of one of those things. Now, I don't think Southern Miss is going to win this football game. I think UL is a much better football team, but there's just always something. I guess probably most of these, there's a lot of players on both teams that know each other, so that kind of comes into play. UL is a good football team. They beat Wake Forest. They gave Tulane really a tough game in Lafayette. So I expect UL to go in and handle business against Southern Miss.
And here's another school, guys, that's investing in their football program. I saw a little bit of the, I guess it was the Kansas State game maybe, and they're expanding their stadium. It's a multi-million dollar expansion of their football facility. So they're investing in the sport too, not only Tulane, but Lafayette as well.
Yeah, they've you know, it wasn't long ago that UL's facilities really across the board were pretty bad. But now that they're in a position, they upgraded the baseball stadium a few years back, I guess probably a decade ago, and now the football stadium is getting that type of investment. And, yeah, I mean, fan attendance has been down ever since Billy Napier lost. Even towards the end of Napier's tenure, it wasn't doing that great. But I think the investment in the stadium and you know, with the football team suddenly on the upswing after being kind of mediocre the last couple of years, I think we're looking at a UL team that's going to be, you know, competitive going forward. I was a little bit of a skeptic when Michael DeSormo was hired as football coach. It felt like it was kind of a lazy hire, you know, guy they know. He played for the Cajuns, was a star for him, and really wasn't. I don't think he was even a coordinator when he got hired. But he's done a good job. It's obvious they've got things going in the right direction.
Yeah, I agree with you, Patrick. I wasn't sold on DeSormo either, and after talking to him at a couple media days, the conversations were just so generic. I thought, I'm not real confident that this guy is even sure what he's going to be doing, you know, in Lafayette. But you know, you talk about Southern Miss has beaten them 11 straight times. And that is uncanny, isn't it?
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
So they're kind of the Falcons to the Saints, if you were the Eagles are to the Cajuns. And if, boy, the Eagles could get a conference win in the conference opener, who knows? Who knows? Stranger things have happened.
I'm not expecting anything terribly strange this time around.
So, Patrick, you covered Southern Miss for a long time, and without placing the blame on any one individual, because I don't think you can fairly do that, can you kind of put your finger on when you think the troubles began with the football program and how we got to where we are today?
Well, I mean, I've talked about it before, and it really goes back to much of what we were just talking about. You know, UL and Tulane have significantly invested in their football programs in terms of facilities. And Southern Miss has invested, but it's been incrementally, you know, just small improvements here or there. And so that's part of it. And also the environment has become that much harder because you have programs moving up from the FCS level to the FBS level within a region that Southern Miss recruited, and you have the Sun Belt. You know, prior to Southern Miss joining it, the Sun Belt became competitive. You know, UL, Arkansas State, South Alabama, schools like that within, you know, which Southern Miss had really had a broad recruiting base, you know, and they just really cut into that. So that, I think that's a big reason we're kind of sitting here talking about a Southern Miss program that is not really kept up. It's all about investments and just not being able to kind of, you know, compete with some of these other schools that have made their.
Yeah, makes sense. Hey, Patrick, we always appreciate your input. Look forward to talking to you next week about that big Saints victory over the Kansas City Chiefs.
I would love for them to beat the Chiefs. the Chiefs.
Thanks, Patrick.
All right, thanks, guys.
We'll be right back, everybody.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back to the show, everybody. I appreciate our good buddy Patrick McGee for joining us in the second segment. This segment sponsored by 4th Street Bar and Grill, where you can catch the game Saturday night, although we'd like to see you at The Rock. Here's what you could do. You could go have a good lunch, hang around, watch some football, have a couple PBRs, and then go to the football game.
I still have not had that PBR, which I need to.
I wouldn't say that publicly if I were you. You drink all those little foo-foo beers, but you don't drink a PBR.
Believe me,
real men drink PBR.
Believe me, my public perception can't drop to any lower than where it is.
Well, that's probably true. Mike Frazier probably knows about that. He's been on the show now for 2 years. It don't take long to catch on about him, does it, Mike?
We saw him coming a mile away.
All right, Mike, kind of an off week, only one junior college game. But before we get into the standings and all, you know, we're so proud of the junior college programs here and how nationally they're so prominent. Where does Mississippi junior college football stand in the national picture as we're speaking today?
Well, they're in very good shape once again. Three teams in the top 10, with Mississippi Gulf Coast ranked number 4, Northwest 7, Holmes is 8, and then you've got Jones at the 12th spot at 3-2. So Mississippi's in a really good position, again, to challenge and play for a national championship. Right now, I think the top three teams that you could say are going to be Mississippi Gulf Coast, Northwest, and I think Holmes is legitimate this year. This is not smoke and mirrors. They're 5-0, and they've got some great balance. You know, they've got a guy, D'Andreas Giles, in the backfield, defensive back, tied in the country with 4 interceptions. But what's really remarkable about that is 3 of those interceptions have been returned for touchdowns. So Holmes is not just doing it offensively. They've got a pretty good secondary back there, and they got a host of a future D1 guys that are really having an impact for them up in Goodman.
How did they get turned around so strongly?
Just recruiting, you know. I mean, they get really good players in there. They've got Chase Richardson, a freshman quarterback from Winona, who's averaging about 190 yards a game. They've got a strong offensive line, and they've got key components on that defensive side that have made the difference. And, man, they're scoring points. You know, Holmes for a long time had a tough time scoring points. Now they're putting points on the board. I mean, they are one of the top offenses in the country, and then they're matching it defensively as well. You know, Mississippi Gulf Coast ranks second in the country in total offense. They're in the neighborhood of about 485 yards a game, and they've got a great freshman quarterback in Landon Varnes. He's been the difference. They've got a slew of wide receivers that have really just been terrific and have panned out for them. And then, of course, you've got the leading rusher in the country, Trey Hall from out of Warren Central High School. Here's a guy that's running it for 687 yards. He's averaging over 8 yards a carry. Here's the guy, and he's only 185 pounds. He's real lean, and he really makes a difference, you know. And in fact, running backs in this league continue to really be a focal point and a strong point for the league. I mean, Pearl River, look at Keenan Franks. 3 straight games now of plus 100 yards rushing. Had 111 last week against Mississippi Gulf Coast. Then you've got Trey Miner up at Colin. He had 121 yards rushing. Mississippi Delta's got a back that's maturing nicely with Alston, Avion Alston, who rushed for, let's say he's right around 123 yards last week. You know, really, across the board from a running back standpoint, again, they just continue to put out a really good product.
You know, Mike, you talked about the surprise, and how can you not cheer for the Holmes Bulldogs other than it's Bob Geddes, alum. He's an alumnus of Holmes. But with the excitement that's going on there in Goodman with the season they're having, but something that has people scratching their heads a little bit, and they're really kind of the victims of their own success, is East Mississippi, showing that they are mortal, and people have been beating East Mississippi this year. What's up in Scuba?
Look, Buddy Stevens has got a great bunch. They're just not jiving together. There's just no chemistry there. However, keep in mind, guys, East Mississippi, at least in recent years, has always gotten off to a tough start. Now, yes, they are really behind the eight ball. But until Holmes can go into East Mississippi and win, I'm not betting against East Mississippi. They're 1-2 in the conference. They're 2-3 overall. East Mississippi, believe it or not, for the most part, can control its own fate. You know, they've got Holmes left on the schedule. They've got all divisional games the rest of the way. And outside of that Holmes game, it's going to be a layup. I think the biggest test is going to be for Holmes. Holmes still has to play, let's see here, they have to play Northwest and East Mississippi back-to-back to end the season. The team that's really sitting in a great position is Northwest because of just the one conference loss. They are really in good shape, and or not one conference loss, just one loss overall. They're 3-0 in the conference. So, you know, Pearl River beat them on the opening week, so they're 4-1. But you look at that North Division, look, Itawamba 2-0, Holmes 2-0. You know, East Mississippi is 1-2. I'm telling you guys, East Mississippi, watch out. That game against Holmes, second from last game of the year, will be of paramount importance. And I still think I have to see it to believe it. And I've seen East Mississippi's roster, and I've watched film. I think East Mississippi is going to slide in as that number two out of the North.
Well, when you talked about the North Division, the South Division, really, let's be honest, and of course, most of our listeners, you know, subscribe to a fandom in at Jones or at Pearl River, but quite honestly, Gulf Coast is a wagon, aren't they, Mike?
Boy, they are. They are a freight train that is running at full speed. That locomotive is not stopping. As long as they stay healthy, they are rolling into the playoffs. Now, the playoffs are a different animal, but they are going to roll. Cole Lynn, as good as Glenn Davis is and as gritty as that team is, they just do not have the firepower to match Mississippi Gulf Coast. Nobody is touching them. They are going to roll all the way into the playoffs, and then it's a whole different season when you get to there. But I like them where they're at. In my rankings at JUCO Weekly, I think they're the third-best team in the country behind Hutchinson and Iowa Western. But it'll all shake out. They're high enough up now where if they can win out, they'll likely get a home game in the national playoffs. So, they're really good.
And real quickly, Mike, I know the teams in the MAC this year, the Mississippi Association of Community College Conference, they instituted this bye week this year as opposed to adding a 10th game. When all the smoke clears, do you think the coaches will like this bye week, or do you think they'll go back to maybe pushing for a 10th game rather than just a 9-game schedule?
No, I think it's perfect the way it is. If you're interested in winning national championships, that's the answer I don't have. I don't know what the coaches generally feel if they want to give that up. I think it's great. Give these guys a break. Let them heal up. It's a physical and just a damning sport. So, you know, these guys get banged up pretty good. Let them get their rest. And to play an extra game in this conference or play an extra game out of conference, I don't think is the answer. Plus, it costs money to do that. So I would think schools like Mississippi Delta and Coahoma would probably be against that. But I like the bye. I think it's great. Give everybody a breather. They can still practice. They, you know, Pearl River was out there this week. Mississippi Gulf Coast was out there this week. So I think giving it a break is great for the guys to heal up a bit.
I'm going to ask you a sideways question before we run out of town here. Time. Take a school like Mississippi Gulf Coast, and we agree they're probably the best team in the state, right?
At this point.
Okay. Could they go compete, first of all, with the Division II college football team, Mike?
Sure, no doubt.
Could they compete with a school like a Southeastern Louisiana in the Southland Conference?
Yes.
Really?
He's not even hesitating.
How far up the chain do you think a school like Mississippi Gulf Coast could go compete?
I think that's the limit right there.
Okay. But
I think that's
but the you
limit
think there,
there
again, are Division I schools they could get on the field and compete with?
Absolutely. Now, I think there's a limited amount in the Mississippi League. I think Gulf Coast, Northwest, East Mississippi are probably your three schools that can do that. I don't think schools like Delta, Coahoma, who else is on that list could do that.
Yeah, and Mike, before you leave too, JUCO Weekly has just partnered, I think, following your social media. You guys have just partnered or gotten the endorsement, some big endorsement. Tell us what's going on there in the office, so to speak.
Well, sure thing. Appreciate that, guys. Yeah, we partnered with the NJCAA, which is really, really a big deal for us. We're really ecstatic about it. The JUCO Weekly Trophy this year will be presented in Texas at the championship game, where we'll present the trophy to the best junior college football player in the country.
All right, Mike, we really appreciate it, man. Thank you. We'll join you again next week.
All the best.
All right, when we come back, some breaking news with the MJ Daniels Jr. case. We'll have that next on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp studio. That's where we'll be broadcasting from tomorrow, actually, at Southern Bancorp in Midtown. Looking forward to that. This segment sponsored by DBAT on Hardy Street, where you take all your children for baseball and softball training. Luke Reynolds is down there. It's a state-of-the-art facility, and they got a great pro shop just in time for Christmas. I want to thank Genesis of Hattiesburg, Mobay Beignet Company, for their support of our program as well. And we want to remind you about the Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it every day on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube, or you can tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Some breaking news regarding the death of football player MJ Daniels Jr. One of the teenagers charged in his murder has pled guilty to second-degree murder and armed robbery, according to the Associated Press. Natavian Shaw, 16 years old, from Laurel, is going to be charged as an adult and faces up to 40 years in prison for the shooting death of former football star MJ Daniels Jr. And, Kelly, I mean, look at this from every possible angle, and it's just a tragic situation where not only is Mr. Daniels gone, but a number of families have been destroyed in a senseless, useless, just unexplainable act.
And a 16-year-old kid who still is not physically developed, including their brain.
No.
Right? I just don't think that that people think. You know,
it's just so depressing.
Yeah, it is pitiful.
Yeah.
But justice needs to be done, obviously, for MJ Daniels and other people involved. You were talking about the baseball, Bob, about D1, and we've gotten some feedback from listeners who want to attend the scrimmage for the Eagle baseball team tomorrow that begins, I think, at 1 o'clock. And are being told that they're not going to be able to park at the baseball field or at Reed Green Coliseum because of the football game that is on the schedule for Saturday night at 6. And I would just hope that, you know, in the future, maybe the university would say, hey, look, the scrimmage starts at 1. It'll be over at 3. So let baseball fans, you know, park in the baseball parking lot and at Reed Green, you know, provided you're out of there by 3 o'clock and other people coming in for the football game have time to get parked. I don't see why there's any way that everybody, you know, couldn't be accommodated in a situation like that.
I don't disagree.
Okay.
I don't disagree, but that's not the way it's going to be.
No, well, yeah. But I hope in the future maybe they would consider doing that.
I agree.
Other news and notes, there are some football games tonight. In fact, I think I was reading the other day that starting tonight, every single night between now and Thanksgiving Day,
really?
There will be some type of football on TV, whether it's college, pro, whatever. Because, you know, now they'll start these wacky Thursday night, you know, the Mac-action and things like that. But tonight, which is Thursday, of course, there is Sun Belt Conference play where the Texas State Bobcats will head to Troy. That game starts at 6 o'clock our time. You'll be able to watch that at the house or at 4th Street Bar and Grill. Texas State goes in a 13.5-point favorite. Troy has been really disappointing.
Real disappointing.
You know, only probably one team, maybe more disappointing, unfortunately.
Well, never mind.
Right. And then in Conference USA play, Sam Houston will go out to El Paso to play UTEP tonight. UTEP is getting 10.5 points at home. And, of course, UTEP is coached by former Coach Scotty Walden.
Boy, I can't miss that one.
Well, hey, we joke about UTEP, but all these other conferences seem to want UTEP.
That's just hard to believe.
To join their conference.
That's just horrible.
Well, the city of El Paso, you know. And good news for the Golden Eagle women's golf team. They finished seventh in the Diane Thomason Invitational in Iowa City, Iowa. And a freshman, Louise Kivers, shot a 1-over-par 73 in the final round to help the Lady Eagles move up the leaderboard there. And, of course, a young lady who was on our program, Momoka Ando, finished 25th overall, shooting a 233 over the three rounds. And J.C. Fields finished 61st. Taylor Tribble finished 25th, tied with Momoka Ando. So they had, man, they were playing in cooler temperatures and winds of 20 miles an hour at least. And that's really tough to get around a golf course, you know, when you're having to deal with that. So a good finish, seventh out of 18 teams up at the up in Iowa City. Soccer will be in action this weekend. We'll have more information for you on the other sports at Southern Miss tomorrow when we report to you from our live on location broadcast tomorrow.
Yeah, Southern Bank Corps where we'll be tomorrow. We're going to have Jay Walker on the show, good friend of our show. He's the play-by-play voice of the Raging Cajuns, and he is a character, my friend.
And he is scared to death.
I'm sure he is.
He said if the Cajuns come in here and lose this game, he said they don't know what they're going to come home to.
Is that right?
A barrage of tomatoes and apples or whatever.
He's so much fun. We have so much fun every year at the baseball tournament because he's there. And we all visit a lot, you know, when he's not working and we're not working. And he's just a super cool guy, man. And he'll tell it like it is about the Cajuns.
Right,
now.
Right.
He's not just a homer.
Right.
He'll tell you where their deficiencies are. And he had plenty to say about their baseball team last year.
And he said they're scared to death because everybody thinks they should come in here and steamroll Southern Miss.
Hey, looking forward to being at Southern Bank Corps tomorrow down in Midtown. Feel free to come by. We'll bring some Eagle Hour t-shirts, and we would love to see you. Back tomorrow at 1 o'clock from Southern Bank Corps. Until then, Southern Miss.
To the top. Slipping, slipping, slipping into the future.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.